folks? Hey, Mark, would you like to just commit us to God in prayer?
Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we are able to gather. And Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit into our midst this night, that Father, you'll speak to the hearts of each one of us. And for Rodney, Lord, we ask you outpour your Spirit upon him, Lord, that he may speak and bring healing and restoration to all of us, Lord. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. As I mentioned in our emails and that, we want to have a look at this, some aspects of the word of knowledge tonight from the manual, mainly trying to help us to be clearer in our hearts and lives and that. How do we receive these gifts? How do they happen for us? Because I'm sure that for many of us in this room, we would find that we receive them different ways. And I say, well, God speaks to me. Okay, how does God speak to you? Is it audible? Is it the silent thing? Is it pictures? Is it visions? Do you have an angelic visitation? What happens? How do you receive the knowledge? How do you receive that information before you speak it out as a word of knowledge and so on? Because I think the more we can help each other to be able to stop and to consider just what we're receiving, even before we speak it out. You know, because, in some cases we talk here, does it just happen in a meeting? Do you get it a day before, 2 days, a week, a month? How long, you know? For me, I think the longest I've had something is perhaps 2 weeks before. And, it was somebody I'd never met in my life, and this has happened several times, and so you just don't know how it's going to happen. But it happens if you're hearing from the Lord, you see. And so on page 84 in the manual, I've just put in here just some of the ways by which I've experienced receiving words from God. Now, I just want you to feel free to input into this, and then we're going to go into a practical, Dave, and are you going to join him, Lisa, in the chair? And we're going to exercise this and seeing it happen in reality and so on. You know, one of the big challenges of Holy Spirit ministry is to be able to know how to bring it from that unseen spiritual realm into the physical seen realm. Okay? And we had visitors here today, and I was just encouraging them, and I said, for me, in writing books and that has really helped me. That book was the result of me being able to capture something unseen in my heart into printed form so thousands of other people could capture what was in my heart. Now, if I looked at that and said, because it's very time consuming writing a book, if you don't believe me, write one. Hang around me, you most likely will. Because it's one of the most powerful ways we've got of communicating the revelation of God in our heart. And that's why I'm passionate about getting our stuff into other languages, into these countries, because once the doors close in these countries, things like these will become precious. Because they won't have access to other stuff. And so on. So, this is the result of putting something that I sensed, I felt in my heart, capturing it into print so that other people can know what was in my heart. You see, and spiritual gifts are like that. The Holy Spirit gives us an impression or speaks to us somehow, whether it becomes a word of wisdom, a prophecy, a word of knowledge. Really, that's for other people to judge. Our responsibility is simply to recognize that we are receiving something in the Lord. It just comes to me as I'm talking to you. It's a very interesting study to read about how many times the Apostle Paul made the statement, "For I have received of the Lord," or "That which I received from the Lord, I made known unto you." You see, revelation, spiritual gifts are activated by revelation. It's got to be revelation because you are sharing information, revelation knowledge with people that you don't know naturally about. If you know naturally, if you're passing on natural knowledge, it's not a word of knowledge. Well, it is. It's a word of carnal knowledge in the sense that it's just a natural thing. But when we are keys, kids and men and women of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God operates by revelation. We don't understand the kingdom of God unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. So the Holy Spirit's come to live inside of us, and he brings with him these 9 beautiful gifts because the Holy Spirit's job is to talk to us, to reveal things to us, to show us things, to bring to our remembrance what Jesus has already said, because we human beings don't have the retention ability to contain everything that God says to us. That's why so much of our life is a life of unfolding revelation. If God gave it all to us at the one time, we couldn't handle it. We really couldn't, because, you know, God is just so much bigger than us. So, okay, we know it's God's will that he's given us the gifts. The gifts are for the building of the body of Christ. They are for bringing the people of God to maturity. And that's why it's so important today that, you know, Christian churches and that are functioning in spiritual gifts, because that you cannot come to spiritual maturity without the gifts operating. Why do I say that? Because the scriptures teach us that the spiritual gifts are for the building up. They are for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Every one of us need to be recipients of that kind of ministry. We need to be edified, to be encouraged, to be inspired, to be comforted, to grow and to develop into that which God has got for us. And it says in 1 Corinthians 14 about the gift of prophecy. You may all prophesy that all may learn, all may be instructed, all may comfort. So there is a communication of knowledge that comes through spiritual gifts that does not come any other way. Now, you know, my own experience, I've pastored for many years, I've got caught up into the old program mentality and stuff, but always there was this desire and hankering for the things of the Spirit. And Grant was in the church in Palmerston in the days when we were there, and I mean, we really had something good going there. And you know, like on a Sunday meeting and that, you would have up to 40 people flowing in gifts of the Spirit in the service. But you have to give time for that to happen. Holy Spirit ministry takes time, you see. And so the Holy Spirit gives us words, information, and we've got to learn how to recognize that's the Holy Spirit. We have to learn what to do with it, how to respond to it, and so on. And so it's good for us to know how do we receive these words. And I just want to share some of these things, and we'll open it up for you to share how you get it. But in my experience, in a prayer closet before a meeting even begins. Now, a prayer closet, you can be walking down the street, it's still a prayer closet if you're communicating with God. He said, "I will become aware that a certain person will be in the meeting. The Holy Spirit will show me something of that person's need or what I am to minister to them. This method has often been tested, as many times when I get to the meeting, the person concerned is not there." Real encouraging. That happens nearly every time when I get it like that. I remember one time in the town of Murupara, the Holy Spirit said to me, "I want you to give this word to this man in the meeting tonight." I did not know whether he'd be in the meeting. He hadn't been in the meetings. And he just said to me, I want you to renew the call of God in that man's life tonight. So off I go to the meeting, full of faith and looking for great things to happen. You know, the meeting starts, I'm looking around for this guy, he's not there. I'm getting up and I'm preaching away, he's still not there. And then after a while, this guy walks in the door of the meeting and sits down. Well, I got my man, you know. And so I give him time to settle in and really try to lift his faith to a realm where he could receive it. And then I stopped and I just said to this guy, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about you today, and he's told me I'm to renew the call of God in your life. He wants you to know God's called you. Don't you doubt the call of God in your life, and so on. And when I finished speaking, he put his hand up and he said, do you mind if I say something? I said, no. So he came out the front and he faced the congregation and he said, I've had a lousy day today. He said, it's just been horrible. And I've been so discouraged. I felt God had forsaken me. He said, when I got home from work tonight, he said, I was so feeling so desperate, I dropped on my knees over a chair in my kitchen. I never do that. And he said, I began to cry out to God, God, if you've really called me, you've got to speak to me. He got up from that chair and come down to the meeting and walked into that word that God wants him to renew the call. And he said, I know without any doubt tonight, God's called me. You see, you don't know those things. Another one that happened before the meeting, Ross and I were up at having a checking out Forest Lakes the other day about the possibility of doing a school next year, but we think we might have found a place closer to Kathleen's place. And anyway, it just brought back memories to me because a few years ago at a leadership camp at Forest Lakes, we had a guest speaker and everything. It was 7:15, the meeting starting at 7:30, and the convener of the camp comes along and says, Rodney, our guest speaker is sick, you're on in 15 minutes. Oh, gee, thanks very much. You know, I have nothing. So I go to my room, one of those bunk rooms. I bury my head in the pillow and start crying out to God and so on. And, you know, in the next 2 or 3 minutes, the Holy Spirit turned up in that pillow. Because the next thing, I had a vision of the meeting we had not walked into yet, and I saw so clearly where everybody sat. And the Holy Spirit said to me, when you start speaking tonight, I want you to start giving words to these people. Showed me every person. I've got my head in the pillow with my eyes shut. I'm having this very clear vision. And he said, when you give this word to that pastor sitting down the back there, as soon as you finish, a pastor sitting over there, and I knew who it was in the vision, will get up from his seat, walk down the back and prophesy over that man. And then I want you, after he's finished, you come and you'll have a word to this person and to this person and so on. In fact, I had 19 words for people. And I was just staring into my pillar. You know, I could almost start a teaching, we should all take a pillar to church. So anyway, I get up to speak in this meeting. It was a funny feeling looking out and seeing every person sitting where I saw in the vision. There's no way you can organise that. So here they are, all sitting like this, and so I just spoke a little bit, told them what happened in my room, and I started giving these words, and started going around the room and so on. I gave this word to this pastor at the back, and this joker gets up, and he goes down, he prophesies over him, just like I saw in the vision, and when he finished, I carried on, and then I started to preach. And then something I never saw in the vision, something I've never done before or since, and I don't encourage you just to do this. I was preaching away, and next thing my finger swung around and I pointed at a pastor and I said, and you, your time's up in your church. you're out of here, mate. And then my finger swung round and pointed at a young guy I'd never been in ministry, and I said, you are taking his place. Well, all the Sanhedrin were there, you know. But you know what? 9 months later, that's exactly what happened. That pastor left, it was McRohee, left Martin, and James Anson became the pastor for the first time in his life. And, you know, that's Holy Spirit ministry, where you just can't organize it. Things happen, and it was interesting. I mean, I suppose it was most likely 20, 25 years ago, and just going back into that building, it was still set up the way it was then. And it was just like brought all these memories back, and so on, you see. So, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I call them door openers now. I call them the Christian's tools of the trade. In nearly 50 years of being in Christian ministry, I can honestly say to you that spiritual gifts operating in our lives will open more doors than any other way of ministry. You know, really, I don't want for invitations. I've got more invitations than I know what to do with. And everyone, since perhaps the last 15 or so years, I'm always invited to speak about the same things, either the voice of God, spiritual gifts, the prophetic ministry, because there is such a hunger out there in the lives of people. Unfortunately, it is not in the Pentecostal churches. It's in the mainline churches right now where things are really stirring up. When we were up in Harara a few weeks ago, Grant, I don't know if I shared this with you, but the pastor wrote and said that that's been a turning point in the life of the church. And, you know, and they're just so excited about the fact that there are people flowing in the gifts and so on in the church. So you can, you know, it's not, we don't know when the next word's coming our way, but I do believe that we can be prepared for such by simply, we need to be cultivating a desire, you know, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. That's the key. You have no desire to function in spiritual gifts, yea, verily, you will not. Because you will not overcome the natural weaknesses, shyness, thoughts, what will people say or think if you get up and do that, and so on. Gets very interesting when you start doing it on aeroplanes. They can't escape. And so on. So, you know, we need to be desirous, walking each day with the desire, God, for an opportunity, open door, like we're hearing tonight. You know, people all around us, we can witness to them and so on. But how much better when you can step up and give them a word of knowledge. And it's amazing sometimes, so some of the reactions I've had as people have said to me, how did you know that? I have never told a living soul what you just told me. Who told you? And you know, I say, well, the Holy Spirit, I don't know anything about your life, and so on. But the Holy Spirit just often will say, tell them this, tell them that, and give you the information as to what to share.
How do you get that hunger? How do you get that desire?
I think we have to cultivate it. You see, one of the things, or one of the attitudes, right now as a general statement, I would say functioning in spiritual gifts are in the take it or leave it category, where so many Christians would say, look, I'd rather not take the risk, thank you. Or in some places it's limited to just pastors and elders and so on like that, because the ordinary congregational people are not encouraged to step out. But if we do not earnestly desire, and if you want to do a little Bible study, do a little Bible study on those two words together. Earnestly desire. And it really, the Greek in that speaks about cultivating, stirring, a craving. you know, that you've got to go after these things, that you see them as being extremely important in your life, that you're prepared to commit yourself to going after the subject matter at hand, in this case, spiritual gifts, that you do not give up, you do not stop until you are satisfied, you are flowing in these gifts. You see, because, you know, according to your desire, according to your level of faith, and desire will raise your faith, praying in the Spirit. We've got to be convinced that spiritual gifts are within us, are there to be used, that God wants us to be using that supernatural dynamic of our life to be able to speak out, say and do things in the name of Jesus. And you know, every one of us in this room most likely would love to see more sick people healed. I know I do. And I just wonder sometimes whether or not, you know, we're not seeing more healed because we've got this take it or leave it attitude, or as Grant said tonight, you know, that so often we pray for somebody, nothing happens, and so that rattles your faith and it makes you hesitant to step out and so on. I said, you know, in the early church, they were surprised if they didn't get healed. Today it seems we're surprised if they do. So there's got to come a change. And the only way that change comes is that people, and it seems to me that it's very hard to do it alone. That's why we need to be gathering like this, where we are focused and we want to see these spiritual gifts working in our lives. We want to get better at it. We want to be a far sharper instrument in the hand of God to be able to be in the right place at the right time with the right word for the right person, knowing you'll get the right result. You see, and that's the challenge that we have. And so it's about waiting on God. Sometimes, you know, we can be just too busy that we just can't get our heads cleared. We can't relax enough. We we're in a busy, busy, busy society. Even if you're retired, you're busier than ever. And so we've got to make time. And it's interesting, I've just listened over the last few months of different meetings, and that I've been privileged to go and just sit there, not to listen, not to be the preacher, and to hear preachers in that, like Bill Sabritsky said this down at Plymouth recently, that, you know, he prays in tongues half an hour before every meeting, and it just makes such a difference when he steps into a meeting to start to minister, the Holy Spirit's there. See? We need to be building ourselves. God's given us the utensils, if you like. We've got to demonstrate to God that we're appreciative. We want His tools of the trade working in and through our lives. And so we give ourselves to them, and we don't give up until we're satisfied they're happening. Okay? Because every one of us, if we go to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12, these gifts of the Spirit are given to everybody to profit with all. You know, that means to benefit. There are great benefits. You cannot exercise the gifts of the Spirit, which are gifts to give to someone else, but you get your own unique blessing because of your obedience to obeying what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. You see, and so God is bound to bless us when we are obeying His will and doing what He wants us to do. So, if we're not satisfied with how gifts are operating in our lives, maybe we just need to get quiet and prepare ourselves for a meeting. I've said this before, but today, you know, so often we go to gatherings with the view, what can we get? Why don't we all go with an attitude, Lord, how do you want to use me? You know, it's a totally different attitude. And then people say, well, there's no room to function. You can encourage somebody in the foyer. You don't have to make it like a spiritual gift. You just encourage. It's encouragement, stepping up to people and blessing them and so on. You don't have to get the shakes and the shudders and go into some big, ooh, thus saith the Lord. You know, that just gets all sorts of people upset. It's learning to recognize how the voice of God speaks to you. I've got here a witness in your spirit. To me, it's like suddenly there's a quickening down here. Because your spirit's down here somewhere. If you didn't know it, it is. And it only takes a fraction of a second to go from your spirit to your mind. And that's where you've got to capture it first. Because if you don't, you'll start analysing it and talking yourself out of it and thinking that's not God, that's me or something else, you see. And you get into a big argument, and the more you fail to commit at that moment, then the more you're going to talk yourself out of stepping out and being a blessing to other people. And of course, if it's a lost opportunity, then somebody's robbed of the blessings of God because we failed to respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I think if we looked at things like that, hey, instead of being so scared about what will people say or what if I get it wrong, hands up someone who never got it wrong, and you know, and started to look at it, hey, me just dilly-dallying around and being non-committal and arguing silently inside with God, we need to recognize, hey, I'm robbing someone of a blessing right from God if I don't step out and do what He's told me to do. You know? So many people have been robbed because of the dearth of spiritual gifts operating. Spiritual gifts are God's idea. They're not ours. They wouldn't even be in the Bible if they weren't God's idea. They're there and all the way through the Bible. In fact, I don't know if we'll have time to get there, but at the back of the manual here, we've got this challenge to prophetic accuracy from the prophet Samuel. Old Testament fella. But man, he got such clear, distinct words for Saul in 1 Samuel 9 and 10, it just blows your mind. He could describe things accurately, and then at the end of it, it said all these things came to pass that day. Well, how much more should we be like Samuel? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, those guys only knew visitations coming upon them from time to time and so on. But you and I, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And we should be encouraging one another to be more available to God to function, because we've got a generation of people that desperately needs to hear from God. Right? Now, how are they going to hear from God if we're not responding to God? Because you can guarantee people tonight are not sitting in their homes poring over the pages of the Bible and praying. They're not doing that. You know, they're just caught up in the world and living for the moment. But you and I have got a vision, a picture, a mandate. We have been gifted with spiritual gifts from God that they need to be functioning. And a lot of times they don't function because we don't recognize that prompting, that witness, that still small voice coming to us and so on. So learn to recognize that a witness of the Spirit can just happen. Now, I've got a testimony about Pete. Last time we were together, Pete was in the chair. And the word that I had for you, Peter, I was out there, I don't even know if you saw me, but I went out to the letterbox and you were over there kicking the ball, trying to smash the window or something. And I just got this witness in my spirit. Tell Pete he's destined for greatness in his sport. Now, you know, I'm not particularly into sport or anything, so I wasn't looking for that. But I was able, that was with me for 2 days before we made that tape up the other night. So I don't know about you, mate, but I have an expectancy in my heart that the day is going to come when you will be in a national team. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? But I'm just sharing that with you because that was just like a witness in my spirit. I wasn't thinking about anything particular, and that happened out at the letterbox. Now, if you all went out to the letterbox now, you most likely wouldn't get a thing. But you're welcome to take my bills home. But you hear what I'm saying? It was just a witness in my spirit that suddenly I knew something in my knower. And the third area on page 85, the Word of God. This is why it's so important that we have a good grounding in the Word of God. I don't believe that we've got to be Christians for 100 years before we can start moving in spiritual gifts. But we do need to have a love for the Word of God, because the Word of God will always confirm the principles of the message of spiritual gifts. You hear what I'm saying? The message of spiritual gifts will always be confirmed by the principles of Scripture. Now, I can't give you a personal scripture to confirm what I said to Pete. But I know that when people are available to God, God commands the blessing. You see, and we know it's God's heart to bless people. And as I've been discovering lately, God, in this next visitation of God, you just observe how many people are going to come into the public arena of being listened to and noticed because of an unusual happening. Like Paul standing at the fire and a snake comes out and bites him. He was an unknown nobody at that point. He's a prisoner. He deserves to not even be there. But God used a negative thing, and everybody's now attention is on Paul, but they all think he's going to die. Well, that was the last thing on God's mind. And after a while, when they gave up believing he's going to die, they changed their mind and they realized that this man is different to all the rest. And the door opens and he heals the sick. Everybody on the island gets healed. Wonderful. Now, God used that to teach, to grab his attention. And we don't know what that might be. You know, it may be something's just going to happen in the course of your life, and it might even be a rather embarrassing situation like his, but the other person concerned might go and give your story to the newspaper accusing you of something, and everybody hears your name. I finished up with my picture on the front page of Truth, and the story was on page 3 next to the naked lady, so I was pleased they didn't swap it around. But you know, that just put the spotlight on us a few years ago that went right throughout New Zealand and Australia. Right through the media. Even on the front page of our local newspaper in the Manawatu. When I told them not to. But coming back to here, we need to know the Word of God, the principles of it. God's heart, God's will. And I believe if we're flowing in spiritual gifts in that, we also need to be really seeking to know the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. You know, a lot of the prophetic ministry today gets brought into disrespect because you have guys going around, ladies going around, and they think they're Jeremiah, and thus saith the Lord, I am not pleased with you. If you don't repent quickly, I'll pull your candlestick out, or blow it out or something. And all of that sort of stuff, you see. And whereas the new covenant is a new covenant of grace and by revelation. It's a totally different kind of presentation. In fact, we are told when it comes to spiritual gifts that spiritual gifts in the public arena must be exercised in the realm of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Just while we're on that, on page 88, wisdom and choice. This is another reason why we need to know the message, how we receive it, what we're meant to do with it, before we open our mouths. I believe we can know before we open our mouths whether the word we've got's God, or it's just our own ideas, or whether it's the enemy having a poke at us. And so, if you get a word that is questionable, Or you feel that God's showing you that somebody is living in sin. You don't just get up and prophesy and say, the Lord's showing me that this brother or this sister is living in sin. I mean, that just throws a wet blanket on a gathering and so on. So you've got to ask yourself, what do you do with such a message? Because you can get revelation like that. Well, you, first of all, you've got to be able to discern, is God giving you this knowledge, this revelation, is it just for you to be able to pray more specifically for that person, rather than to get up and publicly start prophesying their evil deeds? It may be that God's wanting you to pray more specifically for the individual that the word is for, before he releases you to speak it out. If it is to do with regarding leaders within a church, and don't be surprised, folks, right now, if you don't get some big shocks around the country with leaders living in all sorts of crazy situations. Just in the last couple of weeks, we've heard of leaders that's bound up in pornography. Another elder for years has been visiting a prostitute, and some, you know, just in de facto relationships and things like that. There's a lot of stirring going on around the country right now. You don't just get up and prophesy that stuff out. If God gives you a word that someone is living in sin and he's or she is in a position of leadership in the church, you take your word to the church leadership and you submit it to them, because they are responsible for the governmental running of the church that that person is a part of. You hear what I'm saying? And so you then submit your word to the oversight, and if they say to you, come with me, I want you to share that word with that person and we will stand with you, then you do that. If they say, you just leave that with us and nothing else happens, you've got to accept that. Don't try and push your barrow and go then and start to confront that person. You've done what is the right thing to do, and you haven't opened your mouth and prophesied in public as yet. Or fourthly, if the word that you've got comes within that edification, exhortation and comfort range, then you're free just to speak it out and to build up the people of God through the prophetic gifts and so on. And so that's important for you to know. I may have shared some of these things, but you know, over the years I have seen and heard some dumb, stupid things that's been prophesied in the name of the Lord that has just really put back the prophetic by years, because, you know, leaderships don't trust the prophetic, because you get crazy people getting up. You know, like I like to tell this one because it's crazy, but you know, a guy come down and looks at me and says, God sent me all the way from Auckland to warn you, Pastor. He's told me you've got more than one wife. And I said, I'd like to know the names of the other ones. You know, that kind of thing is just nonsense. But he was totally convinced he was right. And wouldn't listen. I told him to stop it. He's going around doing it with several people. So I got called Kevin Toko over, and he's an 18 stone Maori brother, and I said to him, we'll escort you to the door. And as soon as he said, well, I'm not leaving, I said, Kevin, he said, I feel lead to go now. So we just followed him to the door and so on. You know, another situation, a crazy thing, a lady got up in church and she named an elder in the church and prophesied that he was committing adultery in front of 300 plus people. I mean, and we couldn't just get up and say, you're lying, because what if it was true? I tell you what, we did a lot of homework and cross-examination of that elder that week. We really grilled him to the nines to be convinced that it wasn't so. And so the following Sunday we got up in church and we addressed the situation. The other pastor and I went and visited the lady in a home with her husband, and she couldn't see that she was wrong, and it wasn't until her husband cracked and said, oh, it was stupid, that she started to back down. And so then we addressed the whole thing in the church. We're able to tell the church. We'd grilled the elder. We've talked to the lady concerned. We gave teaching on what the place of the gift of prophecy was. And the whole church then knew where everybody stood. Don't just sweep those things under the carpet. They'll come back to bite you in the you-know-where. It's true. I believe the best way, you know, in our years of running churches and things like that, the more open you can run a church, the better it works. People love to know where it's at.
So, Rodney, are you saying that a person like that saying that, is that the enemy working through them to try and pull people down? Because that was not true, was it? It was not an untrue
statement. No, it was, but it was also a wrong concept of what prophecy was in the mind of the lady, so she didn't have sound teaching on it. And so on, and so we had to address all of that, give teachings, guidelines for the church, because the last thing that we wanted to do was to stop everybody prophesying.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't want to have a knee-jerk reaction, let's play it safe, we don't want any more of these.
No.
You see, the thing about spiritual gifts, you've got to be able to continue to cultivate them and to encourage people, and leaders have to lead in this. If leaders are not prophesying, having words of knowledge, the people in the church find it much more difficult. She named him. It was very embarrassing for the poor guy sitting in the meeting. And the wife, and basically, they're a very good couple. And so, you know, that's the thing. And again, you see, if we do not teach like we're doing now, and we just leave people and expect them to know what to do, we're setting people up to fail. You see, and I mean, around the world, there are some crazy utterances and stuff. You know, you've been in places when guys, they come into the meetings, they think they're a prophet and dressed up like Moses or somebody like that. You would be surprised. You would be surprised. And that, and it just looks shallow and cheap. And I'll say on the other side, I have been churches in Europe that are total copycat of Hillsong with Darlene Zichek, the song worship leaders, hair dyed the same colour, dressed the same way, and just singing Hillsongs. It's just so shallow and empty because it's copy. Holy Spirit's not copy. He's creative. And there is something uniquely that you can do that no one else can do. God's made us like that. Yes?
That lady had what she thought was a word. How could she have checked them out before she went to jump and said something? If there's something she could have thought to be out in the past, because she thought she was right with an answer.
Yes, she did. You see, this is where you've got to... leaders have to be very secure in themselves, because if we just suddenly stood up and said, sit down, sister, you're out of order, everybody sitting in that meeting says, well, you'll never get me to prophesy, in case they say that to us.
Yeah.
And you can, just by reacting, and we realised that we had to do our homework. Because if we got up and just rebuked the situation there and then, and she was proven to what she said was right, we'd have finished up with egg on our face. You see. And so sometimes you've got, well, I put it this way. I have a great confidence in people being able to discern right from wrong. Maybe I'm naive, I don't know. But when it comes to spiritual gifts, it is far easier to close them down than it is to release them. And you've got to be able to give people that freedom to step out. And that's why you hear us saying now, look, if you make a mistake, don't just clam up and don't never function again. We've got to learn, you see. And if leaders are bouncing people every time something's wrong, then you finish up with a bunch of petrified people that will never step out and do anything in God. And we don't want to be like that, do we? You know, as it is, it takes a lot of courage often to step out and to bring a word of knowledge in a group, even a group of people like this. I guarantee there are some in this room that would struggle in a crowd this size. Well, often when you get words for people, it can be in bigger crowds than this. What are we going to do? Are we just going to give in to the old natural fears and anxieties and stuff? Or are we going to trust God and see what happens? And so if we've got to get in a good grounding in the Word of God, we can know the basic rights and wrongs. And if you're not sure, ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Look, in any of these gatherings, if you feel you've got something and you're not sure what it is, come and ask. If I don't get it right, I can send you to Grant or someone else. But you hear what I'm saying? We've got to have that freedom. There's nothing worse than sitting in church and you're afraid to function. And you know God's talking to you about something. You see, when God's speaking to us about somebody, God's trying to use us as a link in the chain to set that person's future up for them. But if we don't deliver, we just hold it to ourselves, we are robbing those people. And you know something? It may be years before such an opportunity comes their way again. Don't take the attitude that if I keep my mouth shut, God's going to get someone else to do it. He does do that sometimes, but he doesn't do it always. I know of situations where people knew that they had a word for someone, they failed to give it, and that person needed that word, and then it was several years, they went through all sorts of situations before someone else came and gave them that word. Could have saved them 3 years of hassles in their lives. You see, and so it's learning to be, you know, more quickly to know that what we're getting is from God and that we're able to step out because we have this assurance within our lives. Another test that I say, it's here in the manual somewhere, but if you've got a word and you're not sure what to do with it, you say, well, does this word edify people? Yes. Does this word exhort people or inspire people? Yes. Does this word have comfort? Yes. But no, I'm still not sure. Well, then ask yourself another question. Does this word I have in my heart glorify Jesus? And if you can tick those four boxes, what you've got is the Holy Spirit, you see. And so it's very important that, especially in the public arena, that we are there building people up. Now, I was at a pastor's conference over here at El Rancho a number of years ago where we had this, well, the guy is on television, Mark Sharona was here. And I knew sitting at the back of that pastor's conference was a pastor who had just been found out in adultery. He was very brave. He came to the conference. I say, good on him. During the course of the public meeting, Mark Sharona picked this guy out and gave him a most encouraging, edifying word that for people in the know of what had gone on, I think, what is he going on like that? At the end of the meeting, we have supper, and I'm sitting at this table with this pastor who's just committed adultery, and Mark comes and sits at the table. And just in the presence of two or three of us pastors, he leaned over to this guy and said, I know exactly what's going on in your life. Don't you think that by the word I gave you in that meeting, that God's just overlooked what's happening? You get yourself sorted out. And I thought that was a good lesson. Because in his position as a prophet, a lot of people would expect him to just expose that fella and humiliate him publicly. But he didn't. See, the grace of God. New Testament grace of God ministry. And we've got to be able to carry that grace, eh? Because, I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that's got the call of God on their lives, they've messed up a bit along the way, and it's the Christians that won't let them rise again.
Tell me, Rodney, about the wives of all these pastors that are there accused correctly or incorrectly. Do they get comfort and support during all of this?
Not as much as they should. I think that, what's that saying? The church is very bad at shooting the wounded. and it's like a lot of people don't know how to relate to them. My heart goes out to them, personally, because, you know, there but for the grace of God goes every one of us. And we've got to do better at that. And again, I think this is where spiritual gifts are very important. Very important. Spiritual gifts enables you to minister in the opposite spirit. And that's why you can, you know, God can use you in situations that naturally you know nothing about. You come in and you speak a simple word and it heals a major problem. And you may not ever get to hear about it because people are not good communicators, generally speaking. And that's why I have so many stories to tell. I like going back to places where I've been and I get the testimonies. You see, otherwise you don't know these things. And we've just got to do better in that area. We really do. Let's just move on very quickly about the eyes, and this is one of the main ways. These things are blurry tonight. And one of the main ways by which I pick up what God's saying. I might need them. And, you know, it's a matter of learning to use your eyes, learning to use your ears, learning to tune in your heart to listen to what God's saying. So, you know, because we have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, a spiritual heart, we're spirit beings. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. So the Holy Spirit's wanting to show us things all the time. And it was a real help to me when I began to discover that Jesus ministered by the eye gate. Because I'd never had any teaching on all of this stuff. You know, people look, oh, you know, you're caught up in New Age or the occult or something. And people, you know, and this is the thing that amazes me. The major things of New Testament Christianity seem to never get taught. And so God began to show me how that I could use my eyes, and I'd read the scriptures and things like, when Jesus saw their needs, he was moved with compassion. Well, compassion operates out of love. So Jesus was looking at people through the eye of love, and he would see needs. And as he saw needs, compassion would activate inside of him and he would know what to do. And that's how it should be for us. We are ministering out of love and compassion for people because we want to see them go from here to there, to fulfill their destiny in Jesus. Not knock them down. Anybody can have the gift of knocking down. And every one of us most likely have been on the butt end of criticism that makes you crawl into your shell and so on. But we can use our eyes for good. And as I've said before, that when you start looking at people, often I'll see a word written across the head or across the chest. Or some people see it diagonally like a sash. Or some people see it up there. But however they see it clear enough to be able to know what the word is. And I've learned that that's the key. That's the opening into that person's life. And so when I see that word, I then know that God wants me to minister to that person. So I wait on him. Well, what do you want me to say, Lord? I've got the key to get in. Now I need the word to give. You see? And so when the Holy Spirit gives me the word to give, I step up to them and I always open with that word that I've seen. If it's love, then I know how to minister to that person. If it's mercy, whatever it is, you just go with that. It's a key. Now, that didn't used to happen to me in my early days of moving in the gifts. It's like you have seasons, you come into new things and so on. I mean, areas of visions have only come in more latter years where look at a person and, you know, you don't see a person, you see a tree or a swan or something like that. And it's not because they've got long necks and so on. But and at the beginning, I think, goodness, what on earth was that? What did I have for tea? But I began to realize this was the Holy Spirit giving pictures. and that those pictures have significance in that person's life. And so we got to learn to listen, to be an instrument in the hand of God. And all of that can happen through the eye gate, where you see things with the eye of the Spirit. And we need to, again, seek to be sensitive in those areas. If we are doubting, and I mean, it does. I can't say because it works that way for me that we can impart it, and it, we might be able to, haven't tried it. But, but, you know, if we're not sure, I think every one of us have got the right to say to God, Lord, I really want to glorify you. I want to get this right. Give me another sign. Or something like that, so that you can step out. You know, often I will use this scripture, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so on. And that's how that dream that I shared last time, I think, I'm not given to dreams, but I had a very vivid dream about a man in Australia, and I wrote and told him, and it was just exactly right. I mean, it was, wow, thank you, Lord. And so on. So, learning to use our eyes and our ears, our heart, vision form. How many people have vision form? What do you see? Do you see it in black and white? Do you see it in colour? How do you get it? It's good to stop and think about, what do you see? Right? Who was it? Jesus or John? See, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? But there's all these wonderful ways. Other people, through songs. That little illustration there, I've never seen that before or since, but that happened one night in Hamilton. That just, I felt the hairs on my back standing up. There's about 130 people in a meeting, when suddenly one man over that side of the meeting and another man over this side of the meeting, simultaneously in perfect duet, began to sing a whole new prophetic song. In perfect harmony, a whole new song. And you just knew. Yeah. You couldn't practice for that. Yeah. You know, and it was awesome. It really was. I think, why don't we see and hear more of that kind of thing? There's a tremendous ministry of prophetic song in that, that we hardly hear today. But when you get a whole lot, and I'm just priming you up, some of you might like to sing over Dave and Lisa in a few minutes. And but it just brings another type of ministry, because prophetic song and prophetic speaking are two very different things, you see. And it's just exciting when you see that creativity, the spontaneity of people just responding to the Holy Spirit and stepping out and saying or drawing something. And if you want to be drawing tonight, we've got a big picture and a little picture, because David could take a picture home from Sunday school. and so on. But is there anybody else? You're picking up words that's different to what I've described, that you could see that as something different. I haven't finished going through all of them, but our time's running out. How do you get it? How do you get it? I've told you how I get it. That's one of the things I've learnt, that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we have to do something with it. You can't just commit it to prayer. You'll just pray it away. You've got to do something practical. Again, like a book, you've got to capture what's in your heart and get it out there where other people can get the benefit of it. You see, and because if we don't demonstrate to God that we believe that's Him who's talking to us, then we won't do anything. We'll just sit passively all our lives, and then we wonder why. Well, I never see the power of God. It's our obedience to that voice, to that prompting, that impression, that helps us to know whether we're getting it right or not. I mean, if you get egg all over your face, well, you just realise it's not the right way to do it. And learn to make adjustments. Honestly, how will we ever know it's God if we never respond? If we just sit passively and say, oh, I don't know if that's God or not, How will you know? So,
I'm feeling bad afterwards.
I'm feeling bad afterwards.
Sometimes, if you know you've missed it, and you go, oh, God.
Yes, but you see, we tend to pop it, put ourselves down rather than putting it into a let's learn from experience. You know, and so
that could be your journal too.
What's that?
Well, that could be in your journal too. So I've learned through this. You know,
oh, absolutely.
I've learned through this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And with the knowledge and pictures and things be useful to you, art and creating things and problem solving, would they be considered with the knowledge too?
Absolutely. If you can capture on paper, we can do this now. If you can capture onto paper and picture form what the Holy Spirit's saying, do it. Don't they say a picture's worth a thousand words? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a creative way of knowing how the Holy Spirit talks. And as I mentioned last time, but this was amazing. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Karori Baptist Church have a retreat at El Rancho and asked me up to introduce them to spiritual gifts. Now, here's a whole church that's not moved in spiritual gifts, but they're seeking. So I go up there and do a couple of sessions, and I thought, well, the best way to teach about spiritual gifts, put them in the chair, like we're going to do now. And I called for volunteers so they know it's not a jack up. And this guy, I think his name was Jeff, comes and sits in the chair. And so I said to the people, now you look at Jeff and you ask the Holy Spirit to give you some words or scriptures, song, whatever for him. And you know, almost immediately people started to minister to him. Jeff's sitting there, this is all new to him. Then suddenly this lady over here says, I have this strong impression to give you 2 Timothy 1:7. It's about God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so she gave that out, and Jeff's just sitting there. And at that point, I felt impressed to go into a young guy who was just, I think he was 18, just sitting over there, and I walked up to him and I said, you've got something to share with Jeff, haven't you? He said, yes, but I'm not going to give it. I said, why not? He said, it doesn't make sense to me. I said, what is it? He said, all I see is a ladder. And I don't know what it means. I said, you speak it out because someone else might know what it means. So I had to coax him, and finally speaks out to Jeff, I see a ladder, but I don't know what it means. Well, at that point, Jeff gets out of his chair, walks across the room to his briefcase, pulls out an art painting that he had painted that morning around 2 Timothy 1:7 and a ladder. Nobody knew, but here's this guy. This was his painting, and it comes out in prophetic words by people who have never done this in their lives before. Well, did we get the attention of the Karori Baptist Church? I mean, that was a God thing. God was just showing them this, you see. So I wasn't there the Sunday morning, but they changed all their program, and all Sunday morning they were putting people in the chair until the lunch bell went. Great, eh? But you see, just simple things. And this is what we're hearing and seeing more and more. People are sitting in the meeting and they may see a letter, they may get a script, and it doesn't make any sense for me. It's not for you. It doesn't have to make sense to you. If the Holy Spirit's giving you a picture of a ladder, speak it out when we're ministering. If he's giving you a scripture, speak it out. If you don't know where it's found, ask. Someone here will know where to find it. And, you know, that sort of thing. And so that you can get the act, learn to become accurate and speaking out words and that to people. Right now, the timing is very good for prophetic ministry to be advanced. I really believe that. There is a growing hunger and desire amongst people to want to hear from God. And isn't that what the prophetic ministry is about? So, you know, we Christians, we got to be careful here that we're not so caught up in seeing the world disintegrate with all of the terrible happenings that's going on out there. We've got to know that this is the greatest day of opportunity we've ever had. And we've got to believe that this is our day of opportunity. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we are well able to go in and possess the land. Okay? We hold the keys of the kingdom. And we need to use them. Well, bless you all. Hope that's been helpful tonight.